is a grim anniversary of note this week in Honolulu. In 1928, Japanese-American Miles Fukunaga sentenced to hang for the killing of the 10-year-old son of a local banker. The case is the subject of a new book by Professor John Okamura at the University of Hawaii, and a story Noe Tanigawa has been covering this week.
Right, Bill. It's interesting because this is the first scholarly account of this crime that just tore the community apart here in Honolulu back in 28. And the author, Jonathan Okamura, professor of ethnic studies at UH Manoa, has spent over 30 years studying race and ethnicity in Hawaii and in the continental U.S. as well. Quickly, facts of the crime, maybe? All right. On September 18th, 1928, Miles Fukunaga, he was then 19 years old, kidnapped 10-year-old Gil Jamerson from a Punahou school classroom. He was dressed as a hospital orderly. Fukunaga said Jamerson's mother had been hurt in a car accident. He took the boy away in a taxi, and Fukunaga murdered the boy in Waikiki, hid the body, and sent a ransom note. The search for the killer turned Honolulu upside down for 4 days, and just as the National Guard was reporting for duty on this, Fukunaga was apprehended. On October 8th, 20 days after the crime, Fukunaga was sentenced to death by hanging. The speed of the proceedings is one aspect of the title of John Okamura's book. It's called Raced to Death in 1920s Hawaii. But Okamura says that underlying anti-Japanese discrimination colored almost every aspect of this trial. Vigilante mobs were calling for immediate execution, and Honolulu's Japanese community was really terrified at that point. While headlines were blazing about what they called the Kiawe killer, Fukunaga confessed. He said he always intended to confess. He just wanted the money to pay his parents' rent and trip back to Japan. Fukunaga had attempted suicide twice in the months before the kidnapping, but he was never given a standard psychiatric evaluation. The defense called no witnesses, and Fukunaga was convicted. There's a lot more about his appeal and reaction in the community. His grave is still there in the Mo'ili'ili Japanese graveyard there near the Kapi'olani entrance to the H1 East.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but why care about this now? Well, Okamura, an expert on race and ethnicity, paints this picture of 1920s Hawaii when the dominant socioeconomic group used its power to maintain the status quo. Okamura says in the 1970s, the gap between that top tier and everybody else has been growing and growing. And in the 90s, Japanese, whites, and Chinese Americans were together in that top tier. He is, however, saying that he has not seen collective mobility in other ethnic groups since that time. He's talking about Vietnamese, Samoans, recent Filipinos, Micronesians, groups who came after the plantations. Okamura says after World War II and statehood, Japanese and Chinese Americans just rose up as groups. And while there's individual mobility for Native Hawaiians, Filipinos, and others, but he says the numbers aren't enough to say it's economic mobility. And that's his point. Why? Our economy, Okamura says, is based on sales and service jobs, and it's just really hard for people to get ahead on that. And here it is. Okamura says that we must like it that way. I mean, that's his takeaway after seeing the opposition to the 2018 teachers' union proposal for that surcharge and investment property to fund education. Here's how Okamura sees it.
So with 70% of the public school students being from minority groups, the opposition to the passage of the constitutional amendment was also opposition to equal opportunity in Hawaii. The dominant groups are no longer in favor of providing opportunities to the subordinate groups like Filipinos, Hawaiians, Samoans, other minorities through public education that still remains the primary means for their socioeconomic advancement. Certainly you can understand the Chamber of Commerce not wanting to support the constitutional amendment, but the opposition came from four former Democratic Party governors. Members of the Democratic Party, our only newspaper, faculty union, we teach students from those groups. That opposition was so strong that, to me, it clearly went beyond whether or not public education is funded, but it was the desire to maintain the ethnic status quo, to keep Haoles, Japanese, Chinese Americans in power and control, keep the Hawaiians, Filipinos, Samoans, Micronesians, other minorities in their subordinate position.
No one would cop to that, John. No one would consciously think that and admit it.
Of course, they wouldn't admit it, especially if you're a Democrat. Like the affordable.
But do you really think that even in the back of their minds? No.
Well, this is the result.
It's the result, though.
Sure.
Yipes, Bill. I mean, you know, Okamura is kind of saying that power structures in society are working today the same way they did in 1928. You know, he's basically saying unless we consciously strive for fairness here in the system, the people in power are when they're making sense, it means keeping the status quo.
Well, and looking for where are the on-ramps to power, actually. And traditionally, that idea of education that is equally accessible to all, the public aspect of and the importance of that, and the access to quality education as a way up.
Right. I mean, you know, Okamura points out that this whole area of race and ethnicity is kind of squishy territory, but it can be measured, and commitment to public education is one of those ways.
Interesting that, you know, the phrase he keeps coming back to, and you highlighted it, is collective mobility. Because from time to time, there are, you hear the individual stories and all of that, but that idea of collective mobility over time.
Forget to ask that, you know, forget to look at it as a whole. What Okamura points out is the question of, you know, how long will it be before there is another proposal to increase funding for public education? You know, how long will it be before we get another proposal like that?
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I know for a lot of critics of that particular proposal, there were issues with wording and with you know, aspects beyond the concept of it, but that concept of support for public education on the part of taxpayers and seeing that as an important societal good is something that he talks about.
I think a lot of people will support it, as you just said, but how exactly to do it? Nobody's been coming up with a whole bunch of ideas there.
room to grow.
All yeah. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. HPR's Noe Tanigawa. You can find her story about John Okamura's new book, Raced to Death in 1920s Hawaii, at hawaiipublicradio.org.